Good day, everybody. This is Dan Young with Total Wellness Radio. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. In this episode, episode 261, the basic nutrition class. This particular class has been taught at the Country Doctor Nutritional Center in Cheyenne, Wyoming for over 15 years. It is the backbone of the model of eating that we share with everybody, less a few modifications for those folks that need some specific adjustments, but the 6211 food model is the basic nutrition class we do every month here, the fourth Tuesday of the month. And tonight's class was about an hour's worth of material that you're going to love to plug into. Guaranteed that if you'll follow this model of eating, you are going to improve your health. So sit back and enjoy this episode, episode 261, the Nutrition 101 class on Total Wellness Radio. I like starting on time. I think that's important, don't you? 6:30, straight up. Let's rock and roll here. Tonight's class is where I get to be in the confession booth. No, I'm just kidding. I get to tell you all the fun stuff I used to do. Get some of this reorganized here just a little bit. We'll see. And we will get started right now. How many of you are already doing food logs? Let's start there. Is everyone here doing food logs? Oh, yay. Aren't they fun?
Lovely.
Lovely, she says. Yeah, I enjoy doing food logs.
When you remember to do them.
It is a common comment that I hear regarding food logs, for sure. But tonight's class really centers around the front page of your handouts. 6211, okay? And I draw your attention to this because we're going to spend the majority of tonight discussing just this concept right here. I'm going to tell you exactly where it comes from, the importance of the discipline contained within, some very simple things to do. There's only about a half a dozen things that you'll learn to do over time that will make about 80% of the difference in anything it is that you're trying to accomplish. Really doesn't matter what it is. There's about a half a dozen things that really make up 80% of the difference. And so tonight's class is geared towards giving you a lot of background information on things you can look at, but then we're going to kind of hone in on the last 30 minutes or so and just really focus on 6211, top six foods to avoid and why and where that material comes from. I clearly am not smart enough to come up with this on my own. Thank God, I've had some really great mentors over the years, all the way back to 1974. V.E. Irons and John Christopher and Dick Versendahl and a lot of practitioners, some aren't even with us anymore. But they left with us a lot of information that when people apply it, the majority get good results every time. Not everybody, not 100%, but the majority. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for what's going to give people that come and see me on a regular basis the majority of the results they're looking for. Most of the time, right? Because there's no perfect system out there. But what we do is really, really good, I think, based on the level of results that people are getting. So across the broadest number of cases, meaning brain fog and weight loss and stamina energy and sleep and hormone and pain, just you name it, the broadest spectrum of support, I think we have some good things in place that really do work over time very well for most people. So what holds people back is either fear or insecurity, or they kind of misunderstand because of lack of education, or they're undereducated about what it takes for the body to heal. So I just take a few minutes and kind of give you some framework, some principles to be sure that you understand, you know, the basics of how bodies heal. It takes 3 to 6 months to get stable and 1 to 3 years to get well. I don't care who you are. I don't care what it is you're trying to resolve. There's no way around those numbers. And the reason there's no way around them is because we've spent, most of us, have spent decades doing the wrong thing to, you know, to get ourselves in this condition. So, what, you know, I always call it, there's two things that, that I always like to make sure people understand, and that is, one, either they have blind spots about their lifestyle, diet, stress, rest, that kind of thing, or two, they have neglect. If you just hit it to the right, it should start right back up for you. There you go. So they have neglect, right? And so my job, Tammy's job, Molly's job, Craig's job, everyone's job who's here to support people in their journey is to help people identify successfully, well, are we dealing with blind spots? Which means you just really didn't know. It wasn't that you were being, you know, undisciplined, that you didn't want results. You just really didn't know that this could have that kind of an effect. Or there are areas where we're neglecting, not resting enough, not drinking enough water, whatever it is. And those are areas that we need to figure out, how do we get those disciplines to become priority? Because we all have 24 hours in a day. We all do, right? We all have 7 days a week. We have 52 weeks a year, right? That's how man is the one that came up with time. So we all have that. It's the value of the time based on the decisions we make. There's where things differ for everybody, right? What's the priority? What's most important to me? And whatever's most important gets done. Now, it may produce little value, but if it's priority, it gets done, okay? And so the handouts that we're going to go through tonight, I'm going to take you through them real quickly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, but I just want to make sure really that you've got them. Once you get past the front page, the next one should be nightshades. Foods to avoid in chronic pain. Anybody dealing with chronic pain needs to be aware of this list. You need to read through it. I gave you the Dr. Sherry Rogers reference to pain-free in 6 weeks. This is where this material comes from. She's out of Sarasota, Florida. She's awesome. She's written several different books from a more holistic, natural perspective, but she is a medical doctor. The next one should be Got Milk. This is a write-up from a guy by the name of Eric Daniels. And his research and the things that he has put together for us regarding pasteurized milk, it's harmful for everyone. The allergies, 7 out of 10 people have allergies, whether they think they do or not. If they're consuming milk, they have some real problems. So this flyer represents information on milk. The next one is water versus Coke, or water or Coke, I guess it says. I don't think we need to go into a bunch of detail. There's about nine different little pearls of information there on water versus Coke. The next one that you should have in your pack is banana fact sheet. The different things that it helps address with anemia and depression and PMS and heartburn and even mosquito bites can be remedied with banana. So it's kind of fun. Have it as a fact sheet. It's on a page and a half there. Your next handout should be 146 reasons why sugar is ruining your health. My attitude on sugar is if you're serious about getting your health back or improving your health, meaning performance, the quality of your body's ability to perform, then five or six really good solid reasons why sugar is ruining your health should be sufficient. Nancy Appleton provided us 146. So, and I encourage you to read through it. You know, once a year. The next one that should be regarding cholesterol. Next one should be regarding correct cholesterol by Dr. Ravenscoff. He's a pretty fascinating guy. He's been a cardiologist for a number of years. He is lecturing all over the world, has for the last couple of decades, to different cardiology conventions, the New England Journal of Medicine, the Journal of the American Medical Association, and so on and so forth, regarding this notion that cholesterol-lowering medications are a really good thing. The problem is they're really a bad thing. And the only two people that benefit from cholesterol-lowering medications are the manufacturers of that drug and those that prescribe it and get paid for it. That's it. People that are consuming that are not doing very well if they do that kind of thing long term. So he gives nine different myths about cholesterol. Next page and a half. Foods, A to Z. Where this came from, I know it's not labeled or anything, but I put this together in 2003, I think it was, 2002, 2003. The Garden Club here in Cheyenne had me come and do a lecture for them. We talked at their Garden Club meeting, And so I thought, well, how could they benefit best? And the gal that worked in the office at the time, she goes, well, just talk about different foods because they're growing stuff. They're garden club. Just talk to them about foods and what they can do. And so we just kind of come up with this list, A to Z, and all the benefits that come from consuming those types of foods. And we wanted to include that in your packet. The sugar control diet should be next in there. I don't use this a lot with people in terms of a handout, except those people who look at me and say, I don't eat sugar. Because here's what they're saying to me, and I believe them. They don't have a bowl of white substance powder that they're dumping on everything. Because in their mind, that's sugar. Okay? The reality of it is every single processed grain or foods that come out of bags, boxes, and cans that aren't vegetables or fruit, and even vegetables and fruits have a certain amount of sugar to them, or a very strong conversion quickly, rapidly to sugar in the body. So I just give them this little, well, let's just test that theory. Let's see if you're not eating sugar. I have them go on this for about 2 weeks. 3 days in, they call me up, they say, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I'm hungry all the time. I think my belly thinks my throat's been slit and I got a headache. Great, you're detoxifying from that toxic substance known as sugar that you never consume. So then I let them off the hook. So they prove to themselves that they're consuming foods that rapidly convert to sugar. The next one is low-carb recipes. I included that because I like the ranch mix one. It's so good with all the different seeds in it. There's a ranch mix on there that's just awesome. I'm not a low-carb diet person per se. I do like really healthy fats. I do like really healthy proteins. I don't consume a lot of total carbohydrates myself personally. I try to log less than 23 grams of carbohydrates, total carbohydrates a day. That's just me. I just perform better. I have less aches and pains. My focus, mental clarity, concentration, memory is much better. I sleep better. No snoring. Keep the 26 pounds off that I lost last year, the whole nine yards. So, that's the approach that I use. Next handout should be the fast fat burner. This is an interesting little deal. You'll notice on day four, though, it talks about skim milk. I don't recommend milk at all, obviously, because of the previous handout that talks about how sensitive people are. But you can certainly substitute almond milk or coconut milk unsweetened for that skim milk on day four. But this is a great purification soup. And the next page at the top, it gives you the basic fat burning soup recipe. It's super tasty and it's super easy to make and it's very filling. Here's my experience when I did it about 4 years ago. I did it for a week. One of the gals here made it up. Her and I went on it. Day one, you can eat as much of that soup as you want. It just tastes amazing. Day two is okay. Day three, ugh. You get sick of fast fat burning soup, I'll tell you. But it makes it taste good. But you don't want it. But you're not hungry either, which is okay. And I lost 7 pounds doing it with her. And this gal, she lost 12 doing it for 7 days. Now, we don't use it. It says fast fat burning diet. I really prefer to consider it more like it's like a 7 day purification. You just eat that for 7 days. It's really easy for the body to metabolize. It does stimulate weight loss, but from the standpoint of really detoxifying at the cellular level. And it tastes really, really good. The next is reading list. The reading list that's on there. Nourishing Traditions by Sally Fallon, the best cookbook you'll ever own. Amazing. History of Crime by Dr. Wiley. He was the very first medical doctor who was the president of the FDA. He got fired. He only lasted a year because he tried to enforce the dietary food laws. This was back in 1912, by the way. And he lost his job because he was trying to enforce the dietary food laws, keeping them from manufacturers from creating such toxic, nutrient-deprived, denatured foods for people. He was not successful, unfortunately. There's some great reads on there. And you'll notice at the bottom on that page, it says, you can find other books at ifnh.org or Saline River Press. IFNH, I always like to point that out to people because it's kind of obscure, it's at the bottom in small print. IFNH.org is International Foundation for Nutrition and Health. If you go to that website, they are the oldest online archivist site in the country, actually in the world, for clinical nutrition and clinical use of nutrition in the correction of illness on the planet. They're the oldest one out there. They've been on the on for over 70 years, as far as 70 years of data, and then been on the internet for the last 15 years, whatever the internet's been around. So if you go to IFNH.org, now you're going to open up a whole other world of data on cardiovascular health, on books to read, on, you know, the turn of the century clinical nutritionists and all the things that they discovered back in the 20s and 30s that they proved nutrition would help the body overcome, okay? And the last 80, 90 years in this country, we haven't done any real nutrition studies. What's happened is we've done isolates. We've done pieces of the vitamin. For example, if you look at a label and it says vitamin E, and then there's parentheses by it that says as D-alpha tocopherol or A tocopherol, right? A tocopherol is a piece of vitamin E. All vitamins are complexes. They're not individual pieces of something. They are all complexes. There's four different tocopherols to make up one real vitamin E. And by the way, wheat germ oil is nature's source of vitamin E, and it's a complex food source. That's what they stripped out of the grain, they took the germ out of the grains, right, out of the wheat, to give it a long shelf life. Well, they stripped it, they denatured it, they took all the good, useful nutrition out of it when they did that, okay? So wheat germ oil is nature's vitamin E. Most people don't know that. And we don't know to read labels. Here's what happens. We look at the front of a label on a product or a bottle, and I always tell people the big print giveth and the small print taketh away. Right? The big print is super amazing antioxidant 5,000, right? And on the back it says, you know, the fillers are, it does have wheat, it does have corn, it does have isolates, it has pieces of the whole, and it's all in the fine print. Well, that's where the truth is unfortunately in the fine print. So the big print giveth, small print taketh away. And that's what I tell people, and there's actually some how to read labels. I think there's a handout later in this that we're gonna go over in a minute. But don't get faked out. Anytime you look at a label, if it says organic blend of foods, or when you look at some of the labels on the products out here, you'll see different food sources or blends of herbs, things of that nature. Well, then that's a whole food source. You're not getting a piece of something. You're getting either the chemical extraction, which is in liquid form, or the cold press, meaning it wasn't exposed to heat, but they still pressed it to get the fluid out. That's what makes it real small, right? That's why AF beta food, little tablets that big, but it's the equivalent of a bushel full of beets. Why? Because they crushed all the fluid. They took all the volume out by getting rid of the fluid without denaturing the nutrients in it. And that's how standard process makes those things, for the most part. So reading list is important. The next page says death begins in the colon. That one was so important, we put that in our book. It's just, there's so much information just on this one handout. Several years ago, the British Medical Association, when they got together and they had several different physicians come from around the world at this convention, and they were comparing notes. That's really where this flyer came from. They were comparing notes about their patients, the things that they were suffering from the standpoint of digestion, heart and cardiovascular, nervous system, urinary tract problems, and disturbances in nutrition, the body's inability to absorb nutrients properly from the gut. And we'll get into this first page here. We're gonna talk more about that and what that actually looks like. But 2 to 3 bowel movements every day is the goal. And people that aren't having that, which is kind of common in this country, I was talking to somebody today that said they were going every 2 or 3 days, maybe once every 2 or 3 days. I'm like, wow, that's, unfortunately, that's cancer in the making, for the most part. It really is, you know, the toxic buildup that takes place. So the toxemias and things like that. So really pay close attention, read that through, because it's really important that we keep things moving. No pun intended. Reprogramming. It's kind of an interesting concept, and it's something I don't talk a lot about with clients. Excuse me. But anytime you take somebody and you start them on a healing program where they stop this downward cycle and they start pulling themselves out, they start reducing stress so that the body can restore, rebuild, and repair, and you start putting them on that path, what'll happen for everybody is they'll start going back through some old symptoms that they hadn't had in a while. That's not uncommon. Jensen, who wrote this book here, Bernard Jensen, Chemistry of Man, in his lifetime, he saw over 400,000 patients worldwide. He's written over 60 books. That's a picture of him here in the top right. He proved, from a physiological standpoint, from a neurological standpoint, that the body heals from the top down, from the inside out, in the reverse order of symptoms it experienced. See, we don't come with an owner's manual, and that's a big problem, is that we can get headaches, wonder why, and we take aspirin. I think we have an aspirin deficiency, right? And take aspirin and get rid of the headache. But it gets rid of the symptom, but we haven't addressed the cause. And what happens with the human body is this. If the cause is allowed to go unchecked and corrected, then it will give us a new series of symptoms that are a little worse and a little more aggressive than the last series. But the old one goes away, and we think that one's fine. When in reality, stress layers on top of stress in the human body, and it will express itself in a more aggressive, a more acute, a more chronic way into the future. Now, it might take decades. So that's why we don't think to connect the dots, that this is all part of the same stress pattern. It's just expressing itself in a worse manner. For example, you take somebody who isn't pooping 3 times a day, right? They're having a bowel movement every 3 days, and they go along that way for 10 or 15 or 20 years, and then they got, you know, type 2 diabetes, and they got crowding of the arteries, and they've got, you know, obesity, and then they started developing, you know, cancers and things like that. It's all connected. There's no one standalone thing that's a symptom in the human body that's a standalone illness. There's always a myriad of different symptoms that all play a role together, and it always gets worse. So if, say, a person who's spent 20 years obliterating their health, and all of a sudden they stop, and they're going, I'm going to do something different and get some new disciplines. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to eat, you know, rest right. I'm going to move right. And they start doing all these things, but what happens is then they start feeling better in certain areas, but then they start developing some new symptoms. And we always go back to health the same way we lost health. So if it falls down this way, I'll give you an example here, because that's what this graph is really saying. If we have, start off a timeline, we're doing this in our health, and it kind of looks like that, and here's the symptom package, and then that's okay, it's not that bad, but then it's a little worse, and it holds there, but we didn't do anything to correct the cause, and it gets even worse, and then we stop this downward flux, it actually restores the same way. Now, it's usually a faster restoration, and it never takes as long to get healthy, say this is a year in time versus this is 5 years or whatever, okay? It never takes as long to get well in time as it took to get ill. But in the reverse order of these symptoms, you'll start developing some of these old symptoms again on the way back. So that's what it's referring to.
It's called reprogramming or retracing. In chiropractic, it's called that. The old school naturopaths used to call it a healing crisis. It was, you are healing, but it feels like a crisis, okay? We just have to know how to walk through that. Most people here don't experience that much anymore. Not because they're not healing, it's because we try to design the program so that they don't experience much of that. They might experience a little bit of that, okay? So understanding reprogramming and healing cycles is really important. What to do about the residual toxins. Understanding the natural process of healing. It's really important foundational information to have and to kind of understand. Normally, you'll know if you've gone through a little bit of a reprogramming situation, as you feel kind of down for just a day or two. But when you come out of it, you feel like, wow, I feel really good again, right? I can feel better than I did 2 weeks ago. So this last page is different names for sugar. Can you believe that? It's a whole page. Different names for sugar. I mean, it's just
brutal what they have been able to get away with in labeling. So you're not going to memorize all this. I certainly haven't, but you need to be aware that when you see these words like G-U-R and molasses and panela and tagatose or whatever, that's just another fancy name for sugar.
So you got to be aware of that.
Okay.
I'm going to go into the meat
of tonight's discussion, because this is where this daily nutritional guide, this one page sheet right here where you're going to put most of your notes for tonight, is my book report on this book. This boiled down to this was a very repetitive, not always identical, but very repetitive theme that came from Jensen's work, okay? And we put it in this. So you can certainly get this book. It's, I don't know, 70, 80 bucks. And it's not a fun read. If you're having trouble sleeping, then pull it out and read it. You'll go right to sleep. Because it is a novel book, but it's not a novel, okay? And as you can tell, I've referenced it many times over the years and continue to on a regular basis. The point is that this is kind of an encapsulated version. And for those of you doing food logs and you hear me say, oh, it's 60-30 or 70-30 or 65-35 or whatever, we're pulling it from that, from Jensen's work right there. So 6-2-1-1, this is what I'm looking for unless you're on phase one. If you're on phase one, we're looking for it a little bit more strict, but only for 30 days. Six veggies, two fruit, one starch, and one meat protein daily, okay? And that is a basic model of eating. That's what we're looking for. When we have people come in, they first do the first 2 days food log prior to their initial, and then that first 4 to 6 weeks, we're really monitoring those food logs closely. Supposed to be, okay? How do you get six vegetables in a day? What's the way to do that?
Juice.
Yeah.
Like a V8 or something?
Like a smoothie.
Okay.
Yeah. Or salad. Yeah. So either a salad or a smoothie, those are the two easiest, most convenient, effective ways to get that in. Okay? Now, when you do these, think colors of the rainbow. Colors of the rainbow. Think in terms of multiple colors. You don't have to think in terms of a great big bowl of salad, right? The volume is not the issue. The multiple colors is. So red and green peppers, or cucumbers and carrots and radishes and black olives and green olives and romaine lettuce and spinach leaf and whatever the different colors are that you want. Cabbage and, right? Get some purple and some reds and greens and yellows, right? The more colorful, and don't put fruit in there, by the way. Don't put fruit in the salad. And I'll explain why here in just a few minutes. But the more color you get, the more you're actually providing energy throughout the entire body for all the organs and systems. Because different colors, different vegetables, beets are for the liver, right? We know that garlic is for the stomach, okay? There's just different organs, different things feed different areas of the body, right? Carrots for the eyes. If you slice a carrot, it looks like an eye on the inside, right? Nature's kind of made things in vegetables and fruit world, so to speak, that really do feed specific organs, right? So be aware of its colors of the rainbow. It doesn't have to be a size of a bale of hay, right? It's just colors of the rainbow. Preferably, now smoothies. A smoothie is considered pre-digested. So if you get a smoothie, if you have a rest smoothie, we have several up front, by the way, that you can have. If you go to our website, countrydoctornutritionalcenter.com, go to the free downloads, there is pages upon pages of phase one food program recipes that are amazing, that taste great. A lot of different smoothie recipes. You can play with those to your heart's content. You got lots of information there for recipes.
The tomato soup is very good.
Wasn't that good?
I had it for dinner.
Did you? Good. Yeah. We've heard good feedback on that recipe. So the smoothie, you can have fruit and vegetables mixed, okay? Because it's already liquefied. it's in what's referred to as a pre-digested form, okay? But if you're going to have whole fruit, like a bowl of berries or watermelon, cantaloupe, or something like that, then you want to have this by itself, away from other food, by itself. Preferably, when you think about it, kind of like how we were taught to drive a car, 10 and 2 on the steering wheel, that's your hand position. So a mid-morning or mid-afternoon snack of your whole fruit is really a great idea. Maybe 10 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon, or 10:30 and 3, something like that. But you want to eat it by itself away from other food. And I'll explain why here in just a minute. But when it's whole fruit, it needs to exit the stomach quickly and get into the small intestine. And when you eat it with other food, it spends too much time in the stomach. It can leave a layer of natural, although natural, it's still sugars behind fructose. It can leave that layer behind and it can create some gas bloating. Can be a site of pathology, support bacterial activity, things of that nature. So by itself, 10 and 2, unless it's in a smoothie. Fruit in a smoothie is just fine. One starch and one meat protein, the ideal is to separate those two. But this right here represents 80%, and this right here represents 20. So 80-20 is the goal. That's how we achieve it, okay? Consistently looking at 6 vegetables, 2 fruits, a starch, and a protein every day. When I say a protein, it's a 1 meat protein. How much, Tim asked me, how much meat should that be? Yeah. Go ahead, ask me.
How much meat does that be?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Thank you. Size of the palm of the hand, thickness of the deck of playing cards. Everyone's different. If you look at the palm of your hand, everyone is different in terms of the level of meat protein. Like if you compare your, look how much more meat you get than me. Your palm is much bigger than mine. Look at that. About a third bigger. So your body says, I need that level of meat protein, okay? But most people, they get it that big, but it's stacked that high. That's not good. Right? You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Tim? So yeah, thickness of a deck of playing cards, about that size right there once a day.
Double deck? No. I played the Masters of
Zelda. But that's not the only protein. You like eggs? Have eggs on top of that. You like seeds and nuts? Have seeds and nuts on top of that. Okay. Good quality dairy. White cheese is preferred. A lot of people can handle sour cream and cream cheese, things of that nature. They're pretty good with that kind of stuff. Provolone, pepper jack, white cheddar, okay? Stay away from the Colby's, stay away from those yellow, white mixture of cheeses, mostly at Mexican restaurants, okay? Cheese does not age to a golden yellow, okay? That's a dye, that's a toxic chemical, okay? So just remember, if you're gonna have cheese, have white cheese, feta, goat cheese sources, natural at best you can, things of that nature. There's a business card here. Actually, I can see it from here. Let me grab this. You guys should all have one of these. There you go. This is WyoFresh, Wyoming Fresh. Have you heard of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a neat lady. And they deliver right over off of Walter Scheid.
Yeah.
Neat group. You know,
They're expanding.
And they've got some really, really good, and they do microgreens that you can get from them on their salads. Oh, it's amazing. And it's super affordable, and it's super nutritious. I mean, it's dense nutrition, but it's microgreens, little micro leafy veggies, right? That you just slice them up, but they have them in a little baggie, you keep them in the fridge, and you just sprinkle them on your salad, and it's really, really, really good for you. We got some from the other day when Becca and I came across them.
Are they at the farmer's market?
I don't know if they're at the farmer's market or not. But if you, their website's awesome. Super user friendly. Their website, you can call them directly. And they're on Instagram. But they have, I just think that they're doing a really good job. I think they provide really good, affordable, organic. I think they've got some goat cheese that you can get your hands on. And obviously eggs and things of that nature. So it's not a bad, resource in addition to the farmer's market. So that's how you get 80-20. That's the ideal formula for the majority of people most of the time. Now, it's not perfect for everybody, but that is the 80-20 rule, because 80% of this diet is from the alkalizing food sources as well. There's a book, and I don't know if it's in the reading list, so I'm just going to give you the title, and you should go online and get a copy of it. It's called The Battle for Health is Over pH by Gary Tunsky. The Battle for Health is Over pH by Gary Tunsky. G-U-N-S-K-Y, Tunsky. And Gary Tunsky is a kind of a research scientist, doctor kind of guy. He's got an office in Texas, an office in Florida. At least he did 20 years ago when I came across him. And he wrote that book, and you'll know you have the right one because it's a green cover, greenish cover, and you'll see a scales on the front cover. And on one side is all fruits and vegetables and raw seeds and nuts and healthy fats and proteins and fish. And on this other side is, you know, Cokes and French fries and, you know, potato chips and all the garbage foods. And we have to have a myriad of different pH in the body. A lot of people are thinking that, well, you just alkalize. No, it goes from a 7 to a 1 to a 4.5. So there's a range of alkalizing to acidity that the body needs to have, but depending on what area of this 26-foot of piping it is. And so eating this way helps with that 80-20 approach. It gives your body that alkalizing effect, but also it gives it the right amount of acidity too. So we have to have both, okay? The reason you have to separate meat and starch is because of a digestive relationship. When you bite into meat, hydrochloric acid is produced. When you bite into a starch, enzymes are produced, okay? So when you take the big bite of meat, you chew it up, and let's just say that this is kind of the stomach, and there's the gastric fluid, and over here's the liver, and over here's the pancreas. What happens is you bite the meat and hydrochloric acid pumps kick in. That's when you hear them say pump inhibitors to inhibit the body's production of hydrochloric acid. It's a medication you can take. The problem is you completely destroy your body's ability to break down minerals. And you'll start suffering from, that's why they say never use them for longer than 2 weeks. I know people have been on this stuff for 20 years, unfortunately, okay? But it eliminates the body's ability to break down minerals. You can't use your nutrition properly. So that's what happens when you take a bite out of the meat. Hydrochloric acid gets kicked in. But let's say you bite into the starch. Now you're asking the body to produce enzymes kicked in from the pancreas, saliva in the mouth, liver, okay? And what happens is this, to break this meat down, it should be a 1 on the alkaline acid scale. Now it bumps it to about a 4.5, and it starts off gassing. And so the person thinks, oh no, I have acid reflux, right? When really, and they're getting that burn through the esophagus and up from the stomach. 90% of people who have that type of response have one of two things going on, if not both. One, they have a hiatal hernia right here that needs to be dropped. We use a piece of equipment back there to do it. It's very, very non-invasive. Or two, they are actually underproducing hydrochloric acid to break this down, and the off-gassing is the burn they're feeling. And they're the person who will always benefit really well, and this is a home remedy that works for 90% of the people. A tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in a 6-ounce glass of room temperature water, stir it in real good, and at your meals, sip it. Small sips, multiple times. Sip that whole glass. Small sips, swish and swallow, small sips throughout the whole meal, and you'll stop that. And they don't have any heartburn anymore. They don't need protonics and Nexium and all this other garbage that's shutting down the digestive process and positioning them for nutritional deficiency diseases like rheumatoid arthritis, cancer, brittle bones, osteoporosis, type 2 diabetes, and on and on and on, okay? So that's why separating these when you can is good. So does that mean I'm saying, gosh, Tim, you can't go to Roadhouse ever again? I'm not saying that.
Take your brain as home.
She's exactly right. Or take the steak home and eat the potatoes and the vegetables and the salads, which would be kind of bummer because you go there to eat the meat. I know. So eat the salad, eat the veggies, have your beverage, and eat the steak there and take the potato home? How long away from that meal should you eat that? Go ahead, ask me too. Say, how long away should you eat that?
How long?
Thank you for asking. Yeah, about an hour. About an hour. An hour before, an hour and after. Yeah, just get an hour in between the two, and you'll be fine. And it'll taste better, it'll sit better, you'll digest it better, you'll feel better. You won't have that fluffy, I'm so full, and I gotta go, and the gut ache, and I gotta go rest. And, you know, that's what happens when we're not combining food properly. That's how we feel, okay?
Is that the same with a sweet potato?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
I saw something where they're considered a little different.
They are considered a little different, but I've talked to a lot of people who feel like they kind of hits in the same way. So yeah, good question. But yeah, I would separate those out if you could. Now, we're gonna finish up with the top six foods to avoid and why. It doesn't do us any good to only know what to do. You need to know what not to do, right? We need to know what our blind spots are and what our neglects are, okay? We need to kind of work on both, we all do, okay? You're looking at a guy who 25 years ago never drank water, who used to drink 6 or 8 Mountain Dew soda pops a day, who used to have Reese's peanut butter cups and Butterfinger wrappers all over the floor. But what are you laughing about?
I was just wondering if you're related to Tim.
Yeah, yeah. I'm his older version.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm his older version. The point is that I know what it's like to be horrendously addicted to sugar. I know what it's like to be 26 pounds heavier than I am right now. I know what that's like. And I know what it took for me to get away from it. You don't quit that overnight. You just don't. You don't stop overnight. But here's what got my attention, okay, because of neglect, not getting rid of that garbage diet. I woke up one day and I had an appendicitis attack so bad I thought I was going to die. I mean, this right here hurt so bad I thought I was going to die. I couldn't stand, sit, or lie down. It was excruciating. And I called my dad, and I said, because I was living in North Idaho at the time, he's living in Torrington, I hadn't moved here yet. And I hadn't gotten onto this track and way of life thoroughly yet. And I said, what am I gonna do? He said, you know, because I'm up in the mountains of North Idaho. I was like, I can't get to a hospital and get an appendix out. He says, well, you're gonna have to brew up a big pot of coffee, real dark black, stout coffee, and then you're going to have, once you brew that up, you're going to have to cut it with the same volume of water to cool it down to where it's warm, room temperature, warm, okay, not hot, but warm still, and then you're going to have to go in the bathroom and you're going to have to give yourself coffee enemas until you clear your bowel, because that's what's causing you. You're impacted. It's inflamed and it's impacted, and the coffee enema, coffee drunk too much this way, not good for you, but the other way, apparently, it's really good for you. You know? And it took me four... What's that?
That's not thrilling.
Yeah. You don't taste it that way either.
No.
But I'll tell you, it took 4 hours. I'm lying in there on my side doing this hot water bottle rigmarole of putting it in the bottle and then squeezing it through. And but it took 4 hours. I finally cleared that pathway I still have my appendix. And my gallbladder and all the other parts to go, yeah. And at 55, no over-the-counter prescription medications of any kind at all, none, zero, zip, nothing, okay? And so I know, for me, number one, knowing where my blind spots were, but also where neglect was, right? And I just had to work on it, like everybody, we all do. I still do food logs to this day. I've been doing food logs since May 4th of 2019. So I've been doing food logs for over a year, so no one in here has any complaints, because I'm doing more than you are, okay? My diet is 90 to 93% on point daily. Not perfect, but I'm 90% consistent with my diet, and it's not too much for me to ask you to hit to 80-85%, right? I mean, I'm not asking you to do more than me, right? And I can prove it on paper. So, but I'm asking you to shoot for it, to get as close as possible, because consistency trumps perfection. If you'll just do this consistently in the choices you make, 6 days a week, and if you want a sin day, right? You want a day of just, you know, I'm going to have sin food today, be my guest, but then pay attention to how you feel. Be real clean 6 days out of 7, and then have a piece of apple pie, a Coke, or what, I don't know, whatever it is that you like, root beer float, or whatever, cheeseburger from McDonald's, I don't know. But I'm telling you, you're consistently 80-20, 6 days a week, and then you do that, and you punish yourself that one day a week, you're going to feel it. You're going to say, oh, I don't want to do that again, right? Because your body starts performing better, and you start feeling better, right? At least that was my case. So no more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Butterfingers, or Mountain Dew, Tim.
I've quit the Mountain Dew.
Oh, good. Okay.
I did a cold turkey.
Yeah, you have to. Just like chew, right? So avoid white sugar at all costs. I gave you a handout for 146 reasons why. It is the bane of modern existence. Somebody said that earlier today. It's the most erosive substance from a dietary standpoint that there is. On top of that, now it's not just the sugar we have to contend with, it's all the colorings and the dyes and the flavor enhancers and the fillers. Titanium oxide. What food group is titanium oxide from? It's a whitening agent in toothpaste. But they also put it in other foods, and they'll put it in cosmetics because it makes things real pretty and white, right? So stay away from these things. If you can't pronounce it on a label, here's the rule of thumb. Simple discipline, rule of thumb. Number one, if you're reading a label on something and you can't pronounce it, put it back. It's not food, okay? And number two, the fewer ingredients on the list, the healthier it is for you to eat. For example, when you grab a head of celery at the grocery store and you look for the label of ingredients, where is it at? There isn't one. There isn't one. It's celery. When you grab an apple, where's the label that says all the ingredients? So the point of the story is the closer you can get to how nature intended it, the least man has tampered with it, the better it is for you, the better your body's going to perform with it, okay? So processed white sugar, white flour is the same way. How many of you ever put water and flour in a bowl and stirred it together? And what does it do? It's like what? Did you know it was the original wallpaper paste in homes? It's not food. That's what got Dr. Wiley fired back in 1912 on one of the books that's in that reading list by Dr. Wiley. He actually put toxic tape around a bunch of boxcars of flour that was being shipped across country, and then did a press conference by it, and they fired him for it. That's what we got enriched flour from. Did you know that? The original flour was a dead toxic substance, and if you ate it, glued, and you just did that. So they paid a fine and they got this. Well, what if we, they went to the FDA and said, well, what if we enrich the flour? Well, what do you mean? Well, we'll add back 4 synthetic vitamins that do you zero good. They didn't say it that way. But if we enrich the flour, can we then produce it and sell it for human consumption? Oh, sure, go ahead. So they put 4 synthetic vitamins that create nutritional deficiencies and toxicities in the human body, added it back. Enriched flour. It's garbage on steroids. It's just garbage on steroids now. So stay away from white flour products the best you can. Next one is dairy products from the grocery store. Notice it doesn't say dairy products from the cow or the goat. If you get dairy products from the cow or the goat, yay, that's a real food. And most people can still handle that. Or if they have a milk issue, if they'll avoid the milk for 90 days, take tons of enzymes, be real consistent, then they can have a little bit of that back in the future and it doesn't seem to bother them as long as it's a natural source, not homogenized, pasteurized, things like that. So stay away from the dairy products from grocery stores. The reason pork is a no-no is that pork has a strong support of bloodborne parasite activity. In other words, you can't cook them out. One of the examples they did at the school in Springville, Utah, was they cooked a pork roast on 500 overnight, and you pulled this little briquette out thing looking, and they sliced it up down the center, and then they took a little piece out of the center, they put a rubber glove on, They put a piece of the pork in the palm of the hand. They held it for an hour. They just walked around holding it for an hour. This plastic glove created a petri dish. They put the pork down, got a magnifying glass, and looked at the palm of the hand and saw parasite activity in the palm of the hand. Gross. So if you're going to eat pork, you're going to do parasite cleanse a couple times a year, minimum. Just know that. I know what bacon tastes like. Tim, do you know what bacon tastes like? Do you? When's the last time you had a piece of bacon?
Real bacon?
Yeah,
good stuff.
It's been a while.
Been a while, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I know what bacon tastes like too, and I'm here to tell you it's really good. But you got to do parasite cleanse a couple times a year.
What's a parasite cleanse?
In the clinic, we use Standard Process has an enzyme formula, Zymex 2, that we use away from food for about 60 days. Creates an environment that drives it out. HP Paractive is our version from the herbal side. And then NutriWest has Totopara, which is, these are the formulas that have the black walnut and the garlic and the Spanish black rat. What they do is they create an environment that drives them out. Yeah, so, yeah. And it usually takes 30, 60 days, something like that. Sometimes less. We usually put people on them who have pets and we ask them about their pets to see if the pet needs to do it at the same time. So, for example, if you have a dog, what's your dog's name?
Scotch.
Scotch. So, here's what I would ask you about Scotch. There's four questions that we ask ourselves about Scotch. Does Scotch have really bad breath, a dull, listless coat, weird poops outdoors, or eats weird things?
Last one.
Yeah, it likes to eat weird things. Pine cones and grass and bark. And
grass once in a while.
Yeah. Usually animals are doing that kind of thing because they have an upset stomach, and then when they eat the roughage, as it passes through, it helps. They just kind of naturally, instinctually know to eat roughage, okay? But if they have the real bad breath, lousy, dingy coat, weird poops like, you know, water puddles versus, you know, what normal poops look like, then there's chances that that Scotch might need to do a parasite thing. So just keep an eye on Scotch. Hold a Scotch.
Four?
Yeah. Keep an eye on it. Most, and here's the other thing too, why we become so susceptible, not just because of what we eat like pork, but we become really good hosts because we're worming everything else in our society. See, we're worming our dogs and our horses and cats and chickens and goats and sheep and cows and, right? We're worming all these things except us because we think we're so high on the, right? We're so high evolved in the scale of things or whatever. That far be it for us to get a parasite, but yes, our pets would have parasites. Well, the problem is we've turned our homes into barns. That's another problem too. Two generations back, 50 years ago, very few dogs and cats lived in people's homes. They lived in the barn. When, especially when we had an agrarian society, most people were rural. We didn't have cities. So, you know, big cities that people are living on top of each other in now. You know, the animals lived in the barns, people lived in the houses. You don't bring animals into the house. But that's not the way it is now. They sleep in the same bed together.
But now, like, turkey bacon's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Foods fried in oils, obviously the conversion of these oils into a rancid kind of almost plastic that your body can't tolerate, and it parks it in the arteries, the carotid arteries, the portal vein, the femoral arteries. It starts showing up on x-rays as shadows, they call it, but that means that we're building up plaque. And so you want to avoid those things like the plague. And the last thing on the agenda, actually go to, if it says hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated on the label, run for the, put it back.
What about like olive or avocado?
I was going to mention that. They used to, I don't know so much if they do it now, but they used to give us the heat rating on the side of the bottle, like 500 degrees, 550. Avocado oil is great, okay, for that, okay, for cooking with. Olive, you know, the queen of extra virgin olive oil is great. It's good, but it does have that conversion. It'll turn on you faster than olive oil will. Stay away from canola oil. That's an industrial lubricant. It's not food. And some of your other seed oils can be problematic for some people. But what we do is you can take like your vegetables, if you want to braise them in water or whatever, and kind of steam them. Then when you pour them through the strainer, pour them into the bowl, and then take a big pad of Kerrygold butter, and throw it in there and stir it in. Then you don't convert the butter or the oil. You can drizzle the oil in there and stir it in that way. You still get that nice oily kind of flavor and texture to the vegetables, like the broccolis and the asparagus and things of that nature, without converting them in the heat process. So you can cook them in water, put them in the bowl, add your oils, add your butters in there, stir them in that way and serve them, and that really tastes great. That's really, really healthy for you. So. And last but not least, margarine. We'll finish on margarine tonight. How many of you know where margarine the industry came from? From history. Got kind of an interesting,
I don't remember what it is, but I know it's not food.
Yeah, it's got kind of an interesting history, okay? Back in the 50s, the feedlots, cattle and turkey feedlots, were looking for ways that they could fatten up their animals without costing a lot of money in feed. And business 101 is this. The profit margin on a product is based on two factors, and only two factors. That you either sell it for more money in the marketplace, or you reduce the amount of money you have spent producing the product. One or the other has to happen in order for your profit margin to improve, okay? So what happened was they wanted to get their profit margins up, and they were a commodity, so they were maxed out. Whatever the market would bear, that's what they were selling the product for. So they couldn't go up higher here. They had to figure out how to produce it for less, okay? And so they didn't want to feed them, you know, like whole grains and corns and really good quality hay and alfalfa and things of that nature, and it was hard to move and transport and things like that, so they started feeding them oil. And it was the original GMO, actually, from soybean oil. But they started feeding them oil, corn oils. All these different oils started coming on the scene. And they started feeding them to these oils, and it was much more affordable, and they were putting weight on. They were, you know, it was accomplishing the goal. Less money to produce the product, they were making more money there, but it only lasted about 16, 18 weeks because these animals started dropping dead in the feedlots of heart attacks and strokes. Their arteries were literally clogging up with this stuff. So though they were putting the weight on, they were dropping dead. Well, you can't have that. This is terrible. So they said, I know what we'll do. Let's just repackage it and we'll sell it to people.
Yeah.
That's what they did. Mm-hmm. They came out with a product. Do you remember what the first margarine was? Anybody? Guess? Oleo.
Yeah, Oleo.
Remember Oleo? We were kids.
I would make it.
Yeah.
Those are my grandma's old recipes.
Yeah. Oleo. Yeah. Yeah. And what happened was it was this white lump of lard and nobody would eat it when it first came out because people were so used to eating butter. So they put a little dye pack with it. Remember that? You swish it and you squeeze it out on a saucer and it looked like this yellow piece of lard, but people would eat it because it looked like butter. And Oleo came out. Now here's the thing, when Oleo came out, the very next year, heart attack, stroke, and cardiovascular incidents, hardening of the arteries, skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. Literally skyrocketed. You can see it in the numbers. So their tagline is this, eat our margarine, it's lower in cholesterol than butter. That's what they're trying to convince you, that cholesterol is a bad thing, right? 80% of the substance in the brain is cholesterol. It's fat. It's healthy fat. I know people that on 4,500 calories a day, primarily 30 to 40% fat, like avocados and healthy butters and MCT oils, they've lost a ton of weight. So it doesn't put weight on. It actually takes weight off. So they put that out there. That was the first one that they came up with, and they're telling us that eat our margarine, it's lower in cholesterol and butter. Well, this is not a lie, it's just not the whole truth. The rest of the statement should be, oh, by the way, your body can't process it, it'll park in the arteries and probably kill you, but we're not gonna tell you that. And even that stuff that says, can't believe it's not butter, right? Believe it, it's not butter. Yeah, it's not butter. So, Kerrygold is my favorite. Have you had Kerrygold? Do you like Kerrygold? Kerrygold, have you had Kerrygold? It's the goldish label, big pad. It's an Irish butter, and it is the best tasting butter on the planet. You can almost just peel it and eat it like a banana. It's just that good. Now it's a little on the pricey side, so you don't want to do that because that can get expensive pretty quick. But Kerrygold is my favorite. That's the one we use all the time. So if you want butter, eat butter. That's the whole point of it. Cholesterol is not a big thing. I eat between 4 and 6 eggs a day. on average, about 4 to 6. My cholesterol is like 182. So there's really no factual, I mean, for me personally, and there's, if you go searching, do the research if you want to try and find it, but you're going to be very hard-pressed to find any real scientific back data showing that eggs has a negative effect on cholesterol when you're eating whole, natural, I mean, not just, you know.
Probably the stuff they were cooking with it that was hurting them.
You got it.
But they don't tell you that.
They don't tell you that. The egg gets blamed.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think but, my dad, who's off of eggs, you know, he's a farm boy.
Yeah.
Go
yeah.
with an egg every day.
He was fine, yeah. Yeah, eggs are wonderful, but you're right. That's a good point. What they're cooking in is probably what the problem was. Yeah.
So. I'm sure it was oil.
It was probably oil.
Probably margarine.
Probably oil. Whatever they fried it in.
Because they were going to spend.
All right. Any questions? Well, that will do it for this episode of Total Wellness Radio. Thank you again so much for tuning in. And if you enjoyed our podcast, you should really check out our website at countrydoctornutritionalcenter.com. There you're going to find up-to-date blog posts and free downloads to enhance your journey in natural health. Again, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Total Wellness Radio.